now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. A few years ago, Yaroslav Pelikan, famous Yale church history professor, reportedly uttered something along the following lines shortly before he passed away. He said, "If Christ has not risen, nothing else matters. If Christ has risen, nothing else matters." Indeed, everything in life turns on whether or not Jesus was truly raised from the dead. This is the ultimate game changer of all of human history. The German theologian Jürgen Moltmann summarizes in a single sentence the great span from Good Friday to Easter, the Triduum. He says, "God weeps with us on Good Friday so that we may someday laugh with him on Easter morn." That we might laugh with God in joy today, confronting us is an empty tomb that by its emptiness, irony of ironies, it declares he is risen. Why is the empty tomb so powerful and so significant? Well, no one has been able effectively to explain why the tomb was empty except that Jesus Christ was truly who he said he was, truly raised from the dead, claimed to be God, confirmed by the fact that he came back from the other world, alive from the dead. On the one hand, neither the Jewish nor the Roman authorities could produce a body, and they were highly motivated to quash this Jesus movement. You know, they desperately sought to find the body of Jesus. Probably the thought occurred to them, we could produce another body and claim it was Jesus. None was forthcoming. No record in human history that with all the power and authority they had, could they produce the body. The disciples, perhaps they stole the body, but it actually takes more faith to believe that these disciples concocted all of this and gave their lives as martyrs, and countless scores of thousands of other Christians and others to whom Jesus manifested himself alive over 40 days. It takes more faith to believe that they did all of this based on a lie and went to their deaths for something they knew wasn't true. Against all of these false explanations, there were 10 appearances of Jesus Christ over 40 days after the first Easter, private and public, before countless men and women, believers and doubters alike, all recording that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead, bodily brought back from the world of the departed. A Lutheran theologian named Hermann Sasse once made the point that the message of Easter is not just Jesus lives. After all, we often talk about a departed one continuing to live on in our hearts, or that such a person lives on in our memories. No, Sasse insisted that the message of Easter is that Jesus is risen. What's the difference? Well, Jesus does live, but it is because he was truly, really, and bodily raised from the dead. His resurrection was not a metaphor or an apparition. A living, glorified body coming back from the dead came into this life and makes all the difference in the world. The great towering difference is that if Jesus is not raised physically from the dead, then we're still all in our sins without the forgiveness of God. A man named Paul, to whom the living Christ would appear on a road to Damascus, ended up writing a letter to a church in Corinth. And in the 15th chapter, this great missionary apostle, turned from persecutor of the church to the greatest missionary in the history of the church, wrote the following words. He said, "If Christ is not raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." For what Christ accomplished on the cross on Good Friday was atonement for sin. What was accomplished on that first Easter morn when he was raised from the dead was the credentialing, the proof that indeed he had accomplished the forgiveness of all the sins of the world. However much we may obscurely desire God and sense a problem in our current condition, we lack both adequate sense of what God is like and what it would be like to be properly related to him, and how far removed we are from having such an understanding of God and such a relationship to him without this momentous event, the resurrection. Theologian John Polkinghorne sort of summarizes it up this way. He says, "One of the most significant things about Jesus of Nazareth is that we've heard of him. He lived 2,000 years ago in a not very important frontier province of the Roman Empire. He died comparatively young, painfully and shamefully executed and deserted by the band of close followers that he had gathered around him. He wrote no book that could have conveyed his message to future generations. Yet everyone virtually has heard of Jesus. And even from a secular perspective, he's been one of the most influential figures of the whole of human history in the world. We take our knowledge of Jesus so much for granted that we mostly fail to see how surprising it is." Jaroslav Pelikan was right. If Christ has not risen, nothing else matters. If Christ has risen, nothing else matters. Annie Johnson Flint puts it well in a beautiful poem that I'd like to leave with you. "Some of us stay at the cross. Some of us wait at the tomb, quickened and raised with Christ, yet lingering still in gloom. Some of us bide at the Passover feast with Pentecost all unknown, the triumphs of grace and the heavenly place that our Lord has made his own. If the Christ who died had stopped at the cross, his work had been incomplete. If the Christ who was buried had stayed in the tomb, he had only known defeat. But the way of the cross never stops at the cross, and the way of the tomb leans on to victorious grace in the heavenly place where the risen Lord has gone." Christ is risen indeed. So let us laugh with God on this day of all days. And may the Easter that we've entered into enter into your heart through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."